This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Even though they've turned a lot of double plays.
Oh, there's a drive to deep left field, and the ball game is over.
That was Ernie Johnson on TBS with the call heard round the world. A moonshot by Edwin Encarnacion ends the Baltimore Orioles 2016 season, ends their campaign towards a postseason that a lot of people didn't even think they would even make it to. And that's something you can really talk about, but they got there. And the way the game went, it just makes you really, really scratch your head and makes you really frustrated. What happened?
What happened? That is definitely the question. Actually, there are more questions than just what happened. I could think of many, like, why couldn't we have productive at-bats? Why was Chris Tillman taken out of the fifth inning when there were only two runs allowed? Why did we use up our bullpen so early, even though fifth inning's not necessarily early, but in bullpen status, it's pretty damn early in the game? Why was Brian Dunstan only used for one at-bat or one player when he could have been used for the next two guys coming up and keep the momentum going? And also, why was Ubaldo Jimenez used as a relief pitcher when he has been so good as a starter in his last 2 months as a starting pitcher? And the final question, why wasn't Zach Britton, your best pitcher on your roster, used in that game, or in that moment for that matter?
Yeah, and when I initially saw Ubaldo Jimenez come in to the bullpen, I didn't really have that big of an issue with it, but then all of a sudden I see him come out of the bullpen, and he looked very uncomfortable. He looked unconfident, and then you see that. Gives up two moonshots to back-to-back, and then Encarnacion comes up and then breaks one right down the middle. Did not look like he was ready at all. Didn't look like he even wanted to be in that game, and just got shell-shocked altogether. But everybody spent the Wednesday after the Tuesday wildcard game, they spent it second-guessing Buck Showalter. And yes, questionable decisions, you have to call out that part. You lose as a team as well, because the ultimate reason why they lost that game, you play 11 innings, Josh. 11 innings, and you have four hits.
Yeah.
That's why you lost.
And also, by the way, and this is the heartbreaker for people that are listening to us right now, the heartbreaker is your only productive player in that game in terms of production, which was Mark Trumbo, he is most likely gone after the season concludes.
Most likely gone. They could actually surprise you, but I am not so sure about that. I mean,
you got to think of other things. You got to think of Zach Britton's contract, Chris Tillman's contract. Oh, Manny Machado's contract.
Yes.
Yes, and that's the kicker right there when you're getting guys for one-and-done deals like a Mark Trumbo, like a Nelson Cruz. And look, I mean, and I hope you're right. I hope they surprise us. But the way it's looking right now and the way history has told us, you know, with the Baltimore Orioles, these one-year sluggers, they come in, they hit 40 home runs, and they're gone.
Yeah, well, Nelson Cruz was that guy, and that's been the only one so far.
Well, and then Mark Trumbo.
Well,
Could be.
I'm saying in the past, Nelson Cruz has been the one guy.
Just the one guy.
It's one guy, but yeah, he all likelihood, you can't keep two big power hitters on your staff because of the way they got already, or they're already locked in on Chris Davis. Whether you like it or hate him, he's there for the long haul. Just like Ubaldo Jimenez with his contract, and yes, lights out the last 2 months. One of the reasons why the Orioles got as far as they did, you know, down the stretch, because the bats just went completely quiet in the month of September, and they continued to be quiet in October, and that was something that played a key factor in the game on the wild card game on Tuesday. Yeah, four hits in 11 innings. They couldn't even get anybody on base to even move anywhere. Mark Trumbo was your only production with a two-run home run, and that was it. Some of the most impatient hitting I've ever seen, and just the fastest, most, you know, unproductive game that any hitter could have. And then Buck Showalter brings in Nolan Reimold for Hyunsoo Kim. Arguably another reason why they were got as far as they did in the that they got as far as they did to get to the wild card. They sub in, you know, Nolan Reimel for Hyunsoo Kim. Has the worst at bat I've ever, one of the worst at bats I've ever seen from a professional hitter. I think the only worst at bat I've seen from a professional hitter was Jay Gibbons a long time ago against El Duque, Orlando Hernandez. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Jay Gibbons took the worst cut I've ever seen from a professional ball player at a pitch and just looked completely fooled and outlandish. And Reimel just up there swinging. Yeah, sit down. Okay, well, what the hell was all that about? Yeah, the second guessing of Buck Showalter, everything that's been going on. I do have to say this, though. There are people calling for his job based solely on the fact of his history. That he was, you know, he'd lead the Diamondbacks, the Yankees, and the Rangers. He would take these teams, he would rebuild them, couldn't get that final, you know, World Series push, gets fired. The next year, they win a World Series. So they're basing their logic off of that to say, yeah, they fire Buck Showalter, the Orioles are going to the World Series next year. But need I remind you, do not tempt fate. It knows when you're doing it on purpose.
You know what? That is a very convincing argument right there, and I'm not going to lie. You know, I was one of those people that thought it was not necessarily a gut feeling, a mental feeling where I just thought to myself, "Yep, you know what? They should just cut bait with Buck Showalter right now. Get him out of town. Get one of the bench coaches to come in, manage this team, and boom, we're going to the World Series next year." But then. That gut feeling kicked in where I'm thinking, this is like a baseball god thing, you know, where I feel like maybe this is a part of the vicious cycle that's happened to Buck Showalter. Now, I do agree with tempting fate and everything, but at the same time, you can't argue against history. You know, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And look, I have backed Buck Showalter since day one. When he got here in the summer of 2010 and had more wins than the previous Oriole managers that were there, who was it, Dave Tremblay?
And Juan Samuel.
More wins than both of those guys combined. And oh yeah, from August until late September, early October, led the American League East in wins on a putrid Orioles team in 2010.
Not just American League East. They led the majors. They were the best team in the majors during that stretch when he signed up. So that's what made everybody really, really excited about this. Now, granted, I will say this again about Buck Showalter and everything that's happened. You get four hits in 11 innings. You force the manager to make bad decisions.
12 strikeouts, one walk off of 146 pitches that were seen by the offense. Here, and I can count the pitch count for you right now. Adam Jones, in 5 at-bats, saw 18 pitches. That's less than 4 pitches per at-bat. Hyunsoo Kim, 18 pitches and 4 at-bats. Even though he didn't strike out, he didn't walk either. He pretty much was grounding out. He was the only Oriole player, I believe, that did not strike out in this game other than him and Manny Machado. Let's see here. Reimold, you mentioned having one of the worst at-bats, 3 straight strikes. There you go right there.
Three swings.
And oh yeah, here was your leading hitter as far as pitches that were seen by a player. Chris Davis, 21 pitches. And oh yeah, he got a walk. He was the only freaking Orioles player with a walk. The guy, your leading strikeout guy on the Orioles, got a walk in this game, and nobody else could do anything.
Well, I mean, he gets walked a lot, Josh. That's why his on-base percentage is so high.
But at the same time, though, it's shocking that he was the only Orioles player. Out of all the players that could have walked, he was the only guy that got a base on balls.
And this is a disturbing trend with the Orioles in the last 5 years. Any idiot who watches the Orioles in the last 5 years since they've started this playoff runs, they've been in the playoffs 3 times in 5 years. In those 3 times... your core guys, Adam Jones, Chris Davis, Matt Wieters, Manny Machado, they disappear in the playoffs. Their bats are unheard of. You have to rely on guys like a Ryan Flaherty, who is hitting .381 in playoff baseball. The guy is Mr. October. You know, not as good and during the regular season, but he plays every position, so he gets stayed on the roster because of that. But Ryan Flaherty, Mr. October, 381 in the playoffs.
Well, I wanted to correct you. He actually hits 286, but with a 361 on base percentage,
okay,
it's still pretty damn good, though.
Yeah, it is. It's Ryan Flaherty. The way his numbers are skewed up, it's just like, huh, wow. And that made me, you know, confuse me with for a loop. But still, those numbers themselves, 360 on base percentage?
Yeah.
Good grief. I mean, still, Mr. October. But going back to my point, it's not those core guys that are winning you these playoff games. It's guys like Ryan Flaherty, Delmon Young, you know, outsiders, journeymen, the guys around these core guys. You know, you have Machado, Wieters, Davis, and Jones, non-existent in the playoffs. They get backed up by everybody else. Need I mention, starting pitching also helps them out. When they say, well, the Orioles need starting pitching, their starting pitching is not bad in the playoffs. Their bullpen is not bad in the playoffs. It's just the bats go completely quiet.
And leading one of my first questions, though, why was Chris Tillman taken out of this game? Chris Tillman had 4 1/3 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, one of them being a home run to Jose Bautista in the first inning, the bottom of the first, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, 74 pitches, 44 strikes, and he leaves the game. Why? That's one question I want to know why.
Yeah, because the one bad at-bat that he had was against Jose Bautista, and he grooves one, like, a little bit to the left of the middle of the plate. And I'm just like, Davis, don't do that again. Next pitch, same location. Oh, good grief. And it's gone. And that was something that just boggled my mind about that. Marcus Stroman, when he started that game, was working so fast. I'm just thinking to myself, did they put on like Fast Play or something like that? Is this MLB The Show where you put on Fast Play? You skip all the animations of in between pitches and at-bats, and you just go right to strike one, strike two, strike three. It's like, good grief, Stroman, slow down. I was thinking that is the making of somebody who you should have teed off on, but the Orioles did not do that.
81 pitches for Stroman in 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, no walks, 4 hits allowed, the only 4 hits in the game. That's all you need to know. That's your MVP right there. Evan Encarnacion, yeah, he hit a 3-run home run in the bottom of the 11th, sure. But Marcus Stroman definitely was your MVP in that game. If the Orioles would have won this game last night, the night before, Michael Givens would have been your MVP for coming in a crucial fifth inning when you knocked out the Orioles ace, Chris Tillman, and the crowd got loud and louder than ever. Givens comes in and gets the game-inducing double play right there. And also, yeah, he pitches a couple more innings after that. So it's unfortunate. You know, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts every day, would be Christmas. But now we're heading towards a holiday season where the Orioles, even though they exceeded expectations, they sort of ended it on a bad note in the one-game playoff. Now,
a very sour taste.
Very sour taste. I'm going to ask you, Ray Atkinson, at the end of the day, in the 5-2 extra innings loss, whose shoulders does this fall on more?
Those core guys I mentioned.
Manny Machado, Davis, Wieters, Jones.
Yes.
Those guys.
You pay those guys a lot of money to hit the ball. To hit home runs for Davis, to at least make a little bit of contact and help up the pitching staff, Wieters. Machado and Jones make contact and have a little bit of power. Non-existent. It falls on those guys for me.
What about Ubaldo Jimenez?
Yeah, him? You brought him in a situation he just wasn't used to. But you do pay that guy a little bit of money to actually pitch. Shouldn't matter. But to me, it just falls more on those core guys.
And last but not least, how much blame should Buck get?
Well, as a manager, you've got to put people in the game that gives you the best chance to win and use them to the best of their abilities. Like I said with Ubaldo Jimenez, he's a starter, not a reliever. Zach Britton is your best pitcher, period. He's best pitcher in the majors. Should be a Cy Young winner. Even as a closer, should be a Cy Young winner. He's on the bench. And that's just something that, to me, yeah, just has you scratching your head. Just everything is going along. I don't think they win that game, even with Zach Britton. They get a better chance to win that game they don't win that game even with Zach Britton, just because those bats couldn't hit the water if they fell off the boat.